Is this your favorite time of year?
Yeah, although I do like summer. One thing I don't like about winter is layers and layers of clothes and wrapping up warm.
Even in California, you have to do that?
Yeah, you
do. What's wrong with
you? It gets cold.
Cold?
It gets cold at nighttime when the sun goes down.
It's 40 degrees at worst. How is that cold?
I'm a big baby.
Life must have been hard for you in Ireland.
Yeah, I never went outside. I just stayed in with the fire on, central heating on.
That explains that,
cup of tea.
That pale ivory pallor. Well, it's in some respects my favorite time of year, only because I like shipping. I'm weird that way. I like packing things up.
And what's that got to do with the time of year?
Well, because I'll be packing more things up as I sell more.
You're selling more?
I'm selling a lot. I've sold almost 1,000 items since July. You know, I'm on a kick.
You're ramping back up?
I am. I'm going to sell a huge percentage of my belongings in the next 5 years.
Where are you going?
I just want to be able to travel light.
Okay.
So if I decide I want to move or go someplace, because I'm going to retire when I'm 70, I want to be able to pick up and move.
Is this your official announcement?
No.
First I've heard about it.
No, it's the plan, but okay. You know how my plans work. I'll be here till I'm 80.
Yay.
And beyond.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear your sales are on the up.
Thank
always,
you.
Always good.
I've been selling at least 3 items a day. And for me, nice. That's great.
Putting me to shame.
Yeah. But
right.
I have to really work at it. I have to stay on top of prices, make sure that I'm adjusting my prices accordingly.
Yep.
I have to keep on top of trends. I can't stay static. I've discovered that unlike 20 years ago, I can't just throw up items on the site and they're going to sell. I have to stay on top of them.
Okay. So now you're ramping back up. Sales are increasing.
Yeah.
Are there any lessons you've learned?
I haven't divorced myself completely from what's going on. So none of it was a surprise. I love the metrics in Seller Hub for performance. Actually, I'm only selling as much as I am because I have access to that data so that I can pick out the listings where, hey, this one's getting a lot of impressions and page views, but no sales. And then figuring out, you know what, it's time to lower the price for that shirt. And I lower the price and it sells.
I love that. I love those insights. Yeah, it's always really powerful. And I know sellers love it too. So TerraPeak as well. There's a lot going on in Seller Hub.
The big part of this all is shipping and getting it out the door. And that's what we're going to talk about this week.
I'm Alan.
And I'm Griff. And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you and I need to start, run, and grow a business, no matter how big or how small, on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 65. Hey, how's your week been, Alan?
Thanks for asking, Griff. My week has been fantastic. My mom's in town, so I've been showing her all around the Bay Area, showing her the eBay office. She came and visited.
I missed her.
You did. I'll have to bring her back before she goes. Yeah. So it's been nice. It's her first time in the States.
Is she enjoying it?
She's loving it. And it's going to be emotional when she's going to the airport next week.
Sorry to hear that. Well, at least she's got a chance to see it.
Exactly.
And it's great weather this time of year.
Yes. And hopefully she'll be back soon. How's your week, Griff?
It's been okay. It's been a very busy week. This has been a busy podcast week. So tell the nice folks at home what's on for this week's episode, Alan.
This week, we are on a new theme. In fact, for the entire month of November, our focus will be on shipping. Our headline for the month is Get It Out the Door.
Ah, and to that end, we'll have myriad guests and topics revolving around that headline. For example, things like matching the right shipping strategies for the right inventory, or keeping costs down without diminishing your quality of service or packing, and special considerations for holiday selling and shipping, like special requests, little extras, how do you get those customers and keep them beyond the end of December.
We kick off the topic with our very own Nate Hayward from the eBay shipping team and continue with some insights from actual eBay sellers.
Yeah, so get out your notebooks. There's lots of good information coming up in the next few episodes, and you definitely want to jot it down so it can help improve your business.
Sounds like even you and I might learn something this month.
I should hope so. Otherwise, you know, you're never too smart to learn something new.
Yeah, or too old.
What?
Nothing. Shall we get on with it?
Okay, yeah. All right. And as always, we'll start with what our community of eBay sellers are saying on our community boards in the buzz. Okay, Alan. So what is the buzz this week in the seller community?
Well, Griff, there is ongoing conversation around the item-specific tech issues.
I'm not surprised. What's the gist?
Overall, sellers are appreciative of eBay's updating with information on the seller news announcements. But feeling is we should have got information out sooner than we did.
Mm-hmm.
Also, some sellers are not happy with the timing of the rollout. Came just before the busy holiday selling season.
Yeah, it's a bit of a conundrum because we normally don't do rollouts like this during the last quarter.
Right.
But the goal of these changes, specifically these item-specific rollouts, are to improve the buying experience to get more buyers buying. So it was, you know, it was a real hard balance issue. Do we wait? Well, it's the holiday season. We want buyers to buy more. And ultimately, this will all improve sales.
So yes, that's the goal. That's why we're all here. More sales for our sellers. Mm. So we've seen conversations shift recently. So sellers are asking what they should do next. And we're seeing sellers ask about next steps.
Okay. What should I, as a seller, do next?
Well, you as a seller should wait for more information to come out via seller news announcements on the community. Mm-hmm. And then when you're listing, you should provide required item specifics when you revise existing listings. Mm-hmm. For new listings, follow prompts and include all of the required item specifics, plus as many recommended specifics as you see fit.
I'm doing that. So I'm doing that's what I'm doing when I'm listing.
There you go. You're sorted. Okay. No stress.
But I do have some more detailed information.
Great.
If you have a listing that you're revising or it's a new one, it's a renamed item-specific field in some categories, you may notice they're not auto-filling with the required item-specific values and they appear blank. And this could be, for existing or revised listings. You don't need to take any action for existing listings you created before October 15th or when you revise those listings. So if you see them blank, just leave them. If you previously entered a value in one of the old size fields in shoe size, the value you entered is still there as an additional or custom item specific, and it'll be copied into the required item specific field. Now, I know this doesn't seem intuitive or even the ideal way of doing it, but it does work. Now, for new listings, those are for existing listings that you're revising.
Okay.
For new listings, follow the prompts when you're listing and include all the required item specifics and as many recommended item specifics as you see fit. You don't have to enter any of them. The important ones are the required ones, and they're usually 3 to 5 of those required item specifics.
This should only take a couple of seconds to fill those in.
Yeah.
For item specifics that are not relevant appearing when filtering, sellers do not need to do anything. The issue does not impact your ability to list your item with relevant item specifics values.
Right. So again, as Alan said, make sure you always keep an eye out at ebay.com/announcements for further updates as they happen. So what else do you have, Alan? What else is being talked about?
We've migrated more sellers into managed payments, Griff.
As this was planned. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the future for eBay, by the way. I think there's some sellers' confusion about this, that this is going to be an optional thing in the future.
Right, right. Yeah. No, and we've been talking about this for... feels like 2 years, maybe a bit shorter. We've been keeping sellers up to date. So the short URL to find out all of the information about managed payments is ebay.com/payments.
Yeah.
In the community over the last week or so, we've seen sellers who've been migrated into managed payments discuss some of the changes that they're experiencing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a new process. You're not using PayPal. All of the money is going into eBay. And you're receiving it all in there, and then it's been dispersed to your bank account. Mm-hmm. So sellers are just getting to grips with that. Some of them are noticing that the timeline for payouts is longer than they've been used to with PayPal. And then there's just questions around the new transaction fee structure. Obviously, eBay's fee structure is different to PayPal, so they're asking questions. There was a recent technical issue that caused delays to payouts, but that was resolved very quickly, and now payouts are back on the regular schedule.
It's usually 1 to 2 days. If I remember correctly.
It's pretty quick. Yeah, I've been in it since the employee beta about a year ago. And it's pretty quick. It's a couple of days and it goes straight into my bank account. You know, in the past, money might go into my PayPal and I might forget about it. I might sit there. Now it just goes straight into my bank account and I can use it to go grocery shopping or spend on eBay. I don't really have to think about it.
I can't wait for this for a lot of reasons beyond just this simplification, and it'll ultimately cost less.
Yeah.
But what I'm really looking forward to are things that have kind of been hinted. For example, the idea of fee netting, and that's for eBay sellers not to get an invoice when you receive a payout for a sale in the ideal world, just like anywhere else, any fees you owe are taken out so that you don't get the money and then have to give it back, which to me makes no sense.
An additional bill at the end of the month.
Right. So that's one, and there's lots of other features. The ability to expand to some extent immediate payment for other transaction options like best offer. As an option, maybe. So these are things that are really important.
I know sellers would love if we mandated payment. So when a buyer makes an offer and you accept it, if we could take the payment from the buyer, I know that's been a long requested feature and that might be possible.
What about auction winners? That could happen too.
I think we can do all of that. Yeah.
Now, whether or not we do it all the time, I think there would be the question is this an option? So we'll see. But what's important is it becomes available as an option as soon as managed payments becomes the default.
And hopefully we can stop calling it managed payments and it's just paying on eBay. There's no need for a
name.
We
have to enable it anyway.
Right.
It's called Where's My Money and Get It To Me Quick.
Exactly. I'm excited for the buyer experience. I love using Apple Pay. I use it all the time whenever it's available. I have an Apple card, so I get cash back on it.
Yeah,
so that's really
smart.
Cool. I can now finally on eBay use Apple Pay. But for example, our next market that we're rolling out is Germany. And in Germany, PayPal isn't as popular as it is here in the US.
That's
so
true.
You know, we're opening up things like direct debit payments, bank transfers, I believe, first for buyers in Germany. So that should increase confidence with German buyers, which in turn should get sales for our German sellers and for international sellers. And as we mentioned already, that's why we're here. More sales for sellers. And if we can give them a discount in fees along the way, then it's win-win.
Perfect.
All right. Well, that's it. That's all the news that fits this week, Riff.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
And our theme this month, Get It Out the Door. And joining us right now is eBay seller Robin Yednock-Haas. Robin goes under the user ID. Well, it's Green-Eyed Raven, but it's spelled GRNEYEDRAVEN. Robin, did I get that right?
Yes, you did. Okay. Good morning.
Well, we're glad you could join us today. I know it's a busy time of year for you. And I heard that this is really a topic you really want to talk about. So I'm so glad you agreed to be on our show.
Yes, it's very dear to my heart. I absolutely go gaga over shipping.
What's the most challenging item you've ever had to pack and ship?
Actually, it was just recently. I sold an almost 11-pound fluted, or what you call a ruffled top vase. It was hand-blown. It was beautiful. It was from Czechoslovakia. It was just absolutely gorgeous. And I was a bit frightened on how I was going to ship this. But I took the time to really think about it, and I just double-boxed it. I padded it. It was really padded very well.
11 pounds, how big was it? That's a lot of weight for glass.
Well, you know, hand-blown glass can be really heavy at times. It's about maybe about a little less than 17 inches tall.
Oh, so that's pretty big.
It was probably one of my biggest pieces that I've ever shipped out. I had a couple challenges. One was how to get this thing shipped across the country. It literally went to New York. It was going to a law office. Obviously, it was going to be a decor piece without cracking, chipping the beautiful ruffle, which was obviously the part of it that was just exquisite. So I had to learn how to double box this with and then protect the ruffle at the same time. So it probably took me the longest. It took me about an hour and a half to really get it to the point where I thought it would ship well. And then, of course, it's the sending out and then keeping your fingers crossed and your toes crossed that it gets there. And the report that I got back was glowing. He just absolutely loved it for his office. And he sent a photo because we connected on Instagram. He sent me a photo of it. And it's in his lobby, which is absolutely beautiful. It was a stunning piece. It was like, yay, I did it.
It takes you an hour to pack. You double boxed it. It's going to weigh 11 pounds. This was not cheap to ship.
I had waited and I kind of guesstimated, which I don't suggest for everybody. If you're going to ship things like this, I would definitely measure and try to get your boxing down before you actually ship. In this case, I went a little overboard with the shipping, so it added 2 pounds to it. But he had paid a substantial amount for this piece. And I just felt like as a good buyer experience, I needed to do my due diligence in making sure that I got this product there. And it's exactly what happened. And he was very happy and he has continued to buy from me. So it was a win-win all the way around.
Well,
and
because he knows now as a buyer that he's seen firsthand the care you're going to take to make sure the item gets there intact.
Absolutely.
As I said in the top of the segment, our theme is get it out the door. What does get it out the door to mean to you? What's the first thing you think of?
First thing to me is your handling time. To me, it would be same day or a one day shipping, you know, just to get it out the door, basically, because we're in the holiday season and it is now crunch time for a lot of people. And let's be really honest, it's all about the convenience. And so if I can give my buyers the relief of knowing that, okay, I found this really unique product and I need to get it to my house so that I have it all lined up so that the holiday season starts with a great bang, I'm all about it. So for me, it's all about the shipping. How fast can I get it out for the buyer?
So get it out the door, get it out the door now.
Correct.
Right. You talk to a lot of sellers, both new and experienced. What are some of the worst rookie mistakes that you see when it comes to shipping and packing that it just makes you want to throw your hands up and say, stop, you got to change the way you're doing this?
That being said, on same day and one day shipping, I think the biggest mistake is switching labels. for some reason, a lot of newbies get their items all situated and they think printing out all the labels at the same time is a great idea. It's great. It's your speed and everything else. But they forget to tag their product saying, oh, this is going there, this is going there. And just that little step, just make sure that you don't have to deal with the headache if you switch labels and all of a sudden the guy in Buffalo is getting the earmuffs that were supposed to go to Alaska and vice versa. So that's the biggest.
Yeah, because if you ship him a thong, it's not going to work. It's
No.
So how do you do this? It's one thing to point out the error that a lot of sellers might make, but do you have recommendations based on your own experience about how you avoid that from happening?
Yeah, I just invest in sticky notes, these little tiny little sticky notes, and I have a little code system that I do, and then I pull my inventory. It's like a shopping cart. I pull my inventory and I line it all up. Hard goods versus soft goods versus breakables. And then I come and I print my labels out in those areas. So I do all my clothing first because it's easy and usually just poly bags. And then I go into soft goods because they don't need padding. And then I go into my breakables because I'm known for my hard good collectibles. So to me, I just take that little extra step with the breakables. How I do it.
You have a process and it works for you.
Correct.
That's the important thing, is be organized to have a process.
Absolutely.
What are your top packing tips for a new or even experienced seller who may need some improvement?
Well, because I sell one-offs, usually used clothing, but high-end luxury items, I like to give my buyer the experience of the packaging looking like something out of an exquisite high-end store. So I just tissue my shirts for my men's shirts. I put a little sticker that has my seal on it, and then I box it up or poly bag it. If it's a sports coat, a lot of times I box them. I just like to have my gentlemen receive their sports coats and coats in general that way. And then in that case, if they're doing sports coats, I also give them a hanging bag. I found them fairly cheap on eBay and I just add it into the packaging. And it's just a nice little touch for them to, think, wow, I received this item at a discounted price, but she took the extra step to give me the dust cover, which was just a nice little touch. So that's what I do. I just do the little extras so that the buyer always looks like it's a gift. It's being received to them. So even with bras, I do the same thing. Because who doesn't like opening up a box with ribbon and a gold sticker on it? I know I do.
Oh, I do too. I'm a sucker for great packaging.
Yes,
it makes
too,
all
right?
The difference in how I feel about the transaction. It's the thing I'm going to remember most. I don't remember buying this. I don't remember half the things I buy. They just show up.
I know. I love eBay that way.
Well, I love it. Sometimes my wallet would disagree, but no, yeah, it's the greatest part of that. I love the idea of when you're selling a sport coat, you're sending the dust cover with it. And yeah, maybe it's a used or pre-owned coat, but you're treating it as though it's new. The person who buys it's going to love that.
Yes.
They're going to come back and shop with you again.
Absolutely. Because how many times, Griff, have you as a buyer received something and you think, what? And it's just thrown in a box. It's all wrinkled and there's just no care to it.
Well, I try not to be too hard because you and I both have seller buyer perspectives.
Right.
But I'll order a shirt and I know they're trying to save money, but the shirt comes and it's been bunched up into a ball. And then a piece of tape wrapped around it, and it's been stuffed into an envelope that it can barely fit into.
Oh.
And then I'm thinking, yeah, this is a real joy.
I know, right?
Is this how little you think of your merchandise? I mean,
right.
But what are you going to do? Hopefully people listening to this who may be guilty of that practice will rethink it, because it really definitely is not a great buying experience.
Right. And it's not, and let's talk about cost for a moment. It's not too much of an additional cost to just add a piece of tissue, which weighs nothing, to just give the buyer that experience of opening a gift, regardless if it's for them or a present for someone else. I just always feel like I'm going to give my best self to them. It's like when you go for an interview, you always put your best foot forward. And I want that in my business. I want them to come back to me knowing that everything that I send out, I absolutely love. And I want them to enjoy it just as much as I've had it and enjoy it.
We've talked about the quality of packing, and especially with something like that very expensive 11-pound blown glass vase that had the ruffle that needed to be protected. There is a balance for most of our inventory where, yeah, I can guarantee you this item is never going to get damaged at all, but it's going to end up costing a fortune to ship. For example, I'm selling a lot of CDs right now. I've got a huge collection of them. I realized I'm not going to make any money on these because most of them are, you know, they're just not that valuable. But I came up with just putting them into a padded envelope and shipping a media mail. And I've sold over 100. Well, one was damaged. And I thought, well, how do I prevent that? If I have to package them too heavily, you know, is it going to increase the cost and I'm barely making margin? So that's a consideration that goes through your mind.
Right.
Do you have to make these considerations? And if so, can you give us an example of how that works?
Well, in my hard goods, I constantly have to add more padding and stuff. So I do try to use bubble wrap as sparingly as I can, you know, because it does add up a little bit. Also, same with styrofoam. I use styrofoam sometimes to pad the corners. One thing that I do absolutely love in and invest in, and anybody who's listening, is I actually have an affinity for pool noodles. They're very light and they're easy to cut to add to corners, which seem to be a big problem for a lot of sellers. So I use that. The other thing that I would suggest too, to help with making sure that things don't slip and you can use maybe bare minimum on the bubble wrap is a Saran wrap cling that you can get from, you know, U-Haul or something, and it's got a handle. I use that sometimes when I have something fairly flat and I just need like one sleeve of bubble wrap, and sometimes I don't want to tape it because I don't want to damage the poster or whatever. I use the cling wrap, and there's no weight to that either.
Well, that's a good idea. Great idea.
And I was just going to think on your CDs, you know, they have this foam. It's not actually a bubble wrap, but it's a foam that sometimes you get when you receive a vinyl record, you know, from like a music store. And I was just thinking perhaps you could use that just to maybe pad the corners a little bit, because I'm sure that's probably where it was damaged, probably just on that.
Well, this one, it sounds like, and I'll tell you what I did in this particular case. The person received it and they said, you didn't pack this well enough and it was really smashed. The disc is okay. Well, I'm sure what happened is somebody like a postal clerk probably stepped on it.
Oh.
And that's not going to protect it.
So, oh, no.
The way I turn this around is I had purchased a bulk lot of CD cases. And sometimes I'll change the case out. If I have a CD and the CD case is scratched, I'll just put a new one on. It makes it look like it's new. So I just sent her two cases. And I said, I'm so sorry this happened. She wasn't expecting them. And she was delighted. So she started off disappointed and berating me. And then she left me a great feedback. So
isn't that funny? I love when that stuff happens, when they come at you sideways and then you do something just to change a situation, and then actually they come back and apologize for coming sideways to you. I love those kind of stories, Griff.
Me too. Now, on a different topic, this time of year, it's not uncommon for sellers to get special requests, especially if it comes from a buyer who is procrastinating and is considering to buy, they're going to buy the item, and they're going to end up giving it as a gift to someone else.
Right.
And you'll get requests in these cases. I know I have in the past. Not a lot of them, but a few.
No, a few, yes.
Will you gift wrap? Will you express it? Will you send it to a different address? Mm-hmm. Do you get those requests? And if so, how do you handle them?
I do, actually. And you're right. It's those procrastinators. But I do love them just because of the fact that they kind of challenge me as a seller. And so as that challenge came in, I had to learn how to adapt to the request. And so, yes, usually it's like wrapping. But the biggest requests for me are the overnights and change of address. And so I had to really learn how to do that on the platform. But once I did, it became a great tool for me, because I realized then, like, oh, I can do this. I can get this thing to New York from California in, you know, overnight, because I'm within the time. It's not cut off yet. Sure, there's a little bit of racing around, but I actually love that challenge. And I love the fact that they picked my item to be that special, that they're going to pay the $25 to $36 to get it overnight. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Actually, in conversations with sellers in the past, when this topic has come up, their sellers, they view it as a potential risk that if they ship to a different address and something goes wrong, they're going to get left holding the bag. Does that factor into your consideration?
Well, it used to, right? Because it's like we talked about this earlier, how you live in fear. So it definitely was something that I was mindful about. But once I learned that through eBay and Concierge that I could do something like that and I could change to the request of the buyer, I felt very comfortable about it and very safe about it. Now that I've had, you know, I think I have like 15 of those under my belt, I feel pretty confident to say that I don't think eBay created this to create an environment of fear, or the fear of returns or get dinged. I'm doing air quotes as I'm doing that. It's so funny. But yeah, I don't know. I just feel like once you do it and you can do it consistently, it just becomes this great habit and you feel confident. And I know as a seller, my confidence is built up every time there's a new thing that I learn that I can do for my buyer. So yeah, so I confidently change addresses quite a bit.
I know I've done that in the past and it's never resulted in anything but a happy experience.
Exactly. Right.
You mentioned returns. Let's talk about that just a little
sure.
bit. I'm fairly confident. We've talked about your return policy in the past and they're pretty good. Do you go an extra mile or is there anything else you do during the holiday season? Because this is the time where you may get returns
right.
as the rest of the retail industry does at a level or by request that may be a little bit more challenging. How do you handle returns during the holidays?
I'm so glad you asked this because, you know, this is a thing that we talk about on our show quite a bit too about returns. People have this whole Chicken Little attitude like, oh my gosh, I got a return and oh, my whole world is ending. It's not. It's part of business, number one. Number two, not all buyers want a refund. Sometimes they'll ask you if you have something else in stock. So how I've handled it in the past is one, I just ask the buyer, how would you like to move forward? And I give them some options. You have full refund, you have partial refund, or you may look around in my store to see if there's another size of a particular item. Let's talk about dress shirts.
You give them options.
Yes. And once I've gotten a return, I've actually then offered that same buyer a coupon saying, I'm so sorry you had a bad experience with this. I would love to make it right. I hope this encourages you to come back to my store and take another peek. And I've got to tell you, that alone has brought me more sales and people doing returns. I always try to grab that buyer back. And I just always go up and above and beyond because I know as a buyer on eBay, I've had some serious situations. But I got to tell you, the ones I go back to are the ones that always actually put their foot out just a little further to say, hey, wait a minute, let's make that right for you. And how about this? And sometimes they come up with some really creative ideas. Like that's how I got the idea of actually allowing the buyer to come back into my store and see if there was something equivalent to what they're returning to see if I can maybe do a switch. They return the one that doesn't fit and they get, maybe it's not the same color or the same brand, but at least they were like, wow, she took my best offer and now she's allowing me to shop around again in her store. I just want eyes on my products. So that's how I do it.
And that's reassuring. I think if a buyer needs to make a return request, there's always a little bit of hesitancy on the eBay marketplace, depending on who they may have dealt with before, where they say, oh, this is going to be an ordeal.
Right.
And so they actually might act a little defensively and say, this is not what I want. What are you going to do about it? And if you come back and say, hey, I'll do whatever you like. Here's a bunch of options. Take your choice. It reassures them and relaxes them and reduces their anxiety. This is all going to work out okay.
Right. Exactly.
I know that's how I react as a buyer, regardless if it's eBay or anywhere else. If the company or the seller or the merchant comes back to me and says, oh, well, we'll just send you a replacement or would you like a refund? Would you like something different? You know, then okay. Well, now we're okay.
Right. Because I think the whole idea, right, Griff, is to build confidence in our buyers and to also create repeat buyers, because that is how we keep our stores running. At least for me, I'd say at least 21% of my buyers are repeat. Maybe not all in the same year or month, I mean, but they still come back. Sure. And I'm always trying to build confidence in them, knowing that I am trustworthy, I'm good to my word. And that's the other thing too, I would say for anybody who's new in selling or even having a lot of returns, you need to rebuild that trust and you need to build confidence in your buyer. And when you say you're going to do something, then by golly, you really have to do it. So if you've told them you're going to refund them half of the money, then you need to follow through. Even though it might pinch you a little bit, just do it because your word is your bond. That's how I run my business. So,
and that's why you're a success, Robin. Before I let you go, this is your chance to give us a word of encouragement that you would give to sellers. What word of encouragement do you give to sellers this holiday season?
I say, if you have not started selling on eBay, do it. It is a great platform. They reach a lot of buyers. We have a great community of resellers. Just do it. Just put the fear aside and step forward and really just dip your foot into the reselling e-com game. It's a really fun one.
Now, you said e-com. Before we go, I want you to plug your podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about it and where we can go to hear it?
Yes, you can find Robin and Joey on YouTube and anywhere you can find podcasts. Our show is called Ecom 101 Podcast, or just short Ecom 101. So we're on YouTube, Apple, Google Play. We're on Facebook. We just started a new Facebook group, Ecom 101. We'd love to have you in our group. You can also find Joey and Robin at the monthly eBay meetups at eBay headquarters. It's every fourth Tuesday, unless there's a special thing. And we don't have a meetup in November, but I got to tell you, we have a great one in December. It's December 17th. The theme is ugly Christmas sweater. It's going to be a big party, and we'd love to see you. And we love sharing all of our experiences. Plus, you get an interesting perspective because you get access to eBay employees. And besides, I'm bringing really great food. So,
well, Robin, I can't wait. We'll see you there. If you can't make it to San Jose, you can always look up a local seller meetup in your area. Thank you so much for stopping by and talking to us.
Oh, absolutely. It was an honor to be on your show, Griff.
Robin Yednock-Haas is a seller on eBay under the user ID Green-Eyed Raven, and it's spelled in a sort of shorthand. So it's GRNEYEDRAVEN. And that's also her store name. So check it out on eBay. And you can, you might find a vase with a ruffled collar you can buy, and you know you're going to get it shipped properly.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Robin.
Yeah, thank you.
Today on Inside eBay, we're talking with Nate Hayward. He works with the eBay North America shipping team. We're talking about holidays, and we're going to go through a lot of points that we want sellers to keep in mind. I hope that you have some good advice. So welcome back, Nate.
Thank you.
Hey, when we say get it out the door, what does eBay mean?
Getting it out the door, I think the most popular question this time of year is about, like, when is my last day to ship so that it will arrive by Christmas?
For those people who are concerned with deadlines.
Like me.
Right, of course, yeah. Well.
Always doing the last minute shopping. So the last days to ship actually varies by carrier. If we're really focused around arrival before Christmas, Postal Service, if you're using their ground products, really great to get those out the door by the 14th of December. Mm. If you're using the first class or priority mail products, that Friday, December 20th, is really one of the last days that you want to be shipping those packages. Priority mail, you can get it out the 21st. It's actually a Saturday.
Saturday.
Okay, Saturday the 21st. But I'm going to be shipping my packages out by Friday if I can.
Yeah.
For FedEx, you'd look at the ground services on the 16th. Same for home delivery. Thursday the 19th is when their three-day service, Express Saver, can ship by. And on the two-day services, December 20th, that same Friday, same as priority mail.
Sure.
With UPS, ground, they're saying the 13th this year. So really, really a little bit earlier than the rest.
Yeah.
Three-day product with UPS, that's three-day select on the 19th, and the two-day air by the 20th as well.
Are these guaranteed or are they suggested?
Only certain products carry a guarantee.
Right. It's usually the ones you pay the most for.
Absolutely.
Like Express Overnight.
Express. Yeah. So the Express 2-Day, Express Overnight from FedEx and UPS, those will be guaranteed arrivals. The ground services from the commercial carriers as well as the Postal Service do not do any delivery guarantees. Postal Service has the exception on Priority Express.
Right, Priority Express, not regular Priority.
They will guarantee that, and you can ship that as late as Monday, the 23rd, for a Christmas arrival. That's a next-day service that is guaranteed.
So now we have all this information, and if you wanted to revisit it, you could listen to the podcast again or visit the various carriers' websites where they make this available.
You got it.
What should a seller do besides just keeping these top of mind or written down where they know where their cutoff dates are? Should they be alerting their buyers and their listings about this?
We try to take care of that for the sellers on their behalf with our delivery estimated dates that we show on the listings to buyers. So we'll be using this data to create a delivery estimate that tells the buyer and gives them confidence that these things will arrive. And we'll be using these carrier SLAs for last days to ship as a benchmark. I think the number one thing that I'd suggest a seller does in order to kind of extend that holiday shopping period, it's all about reduction on your handling time. So on your listings, pick the shortest handling time that you know you'll be able to meet. A lot of people look to move in the fourth quarter to a same day handle for this time of year.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because they get an extra day or two, depending on what their baseline handling is. And the other thing is to really think, if you haven't already, about offering choices to upgrade shipping. This time of year, more than any other time of year, is when buyers are saying, like, oh gosh, that's the perfect item, but I need it to arrive by 2 days from now.
Right. They don't want to ask for the special service. You should be having that as an option right there.
Exactly. If you're driving buyers to ask you if you can ship faster, that's a lost opportunity on conversion. So you might have one buyer that asks. Think of the 10 others that didn't bother to ask and went to another site to shop.
That might be me. I might be too shy to ask.
That's how I shop. Yeah, I don't ask questions to sellers. I go to the site that will tell me it will get there in time. The way I like to think about it is shift your free shipping option to an expedited service. Think about priority mail. Think about a FedEx 3-day option and then offer a choice to upgrade at a paid rate. For something faster, one-day services.
And there's nothing wrong with charging the buyer for that option.
Absolutely not.
And a buyer who's in a pinch is going to happily pay that. I know as a buyer in a pinch in the past, I've happily paid for the quick shipping. I still do today. If I know I want the item to arrive as quickly as possible, I'm willing to pay the extra money to get it. Don't make the assumption that a buyer isn't going to consider paying the extra money to get it faster.
This time of year, more so than ever.
Yeah, because I'm a member of the Perennial Procrastinators Club. It never learns and still procrastinates.
You and I both.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who listen, I'm sure, as well. The thing that you mentioned that I think is a great segue into the next topic is you said same day handling. And I think there's a lot of sellers who run a business where they know, hey, this works. If I'm using 1 day or longer, I might be hesitant to consider same day. Explain a little bit how same day handling works on eBay and how sellers have some control about the parameters of same day handling.
Sure. So same day handling is all about at what time in the day do you want, we call it a cutoff time. So we were talking earlier about holiday, last days to ship is the holiday cutoff. But in the handling space, same day handling affords you the ability to say every order before this time in the day, I will commit to getting to the carrier by midnight that same day. So let's do an example. My same day handling cutoff time is 3 p.m. Pacific time. That means that any order that comes to me before 3 p.m. Pacific time, I've committed to get into the carrier possession by midnight that same day. If I sell an item today, let's call it a Monday, and it sells before 3 p.m. Pacific, I'm saying I'll get to the carrier before midnight and hand the package off to them. For me, that practically means that I need to get to my carrier before about 5:30.
Or your carrier has to get to you.
Or my carrier has to come to me.
Right.
So you can set the same day cutoff time to whatever works best for you. And you can set that by day. Those are available within your eBay shipping preferences. I have mine actually set to 11 a.m. on Fridays.
On Fridays? Why Fridays? You work here. How do you do that?
I do work here.
Yeah, I mean, how do you get home and ship?
I don't know. It just feels, it's like a feeling that I have because I like to think that I'm going to cut out early, even though I don't.
Oh, that's why we never see you in the office on Fridays. Nate, a confession here. I hope your manager isn't listening.
I hope not.
I do it on Thursdays because I happen to work at home on Thursdays. So on Thursdays, I can easily do same day shipping because I'm at home editing the podcast. So that would work for me.
Got it.
And also, a lot of sellers think, well, now I have to drag packages to the carrier. And that's not necessarily true. What are the different options that a seller should consider when it comes to then that final step fulfillment in the shipping area is getting it into the carrier's hands?
That's right. So I think we're all really familiar with kind of our local post office, and we love the fact that the post office comes to our door nearly every day, picks up packages for us for free. Mm. And then we talked about the other carriers and some of their advantages in the faster speeds and how offering those at faster speeds are extremely important during this time of year. The alternative carriers or FedEx, UPS, commercial carrier space, they've really expanded tremendously in the last 18 months. Their kind of first mile availability or the way that you can drop a package into their network.
Explain.
They still charge for coming to your door, but they've expanded their network. So with FedEx, for instance, we all might think, yeah, FedEx office used to be Kinko's. I know where one of those is. It's really far from my house. FedEx has actually expanded their network of where you can drop off packages to every Walgreens in the country.
There's one right down the street.
There's one right down the street. That's right. Dollar General. And a variety of other types of alternative drop points that you can bring your packages to. I love using this. I just actually found one in the local kind of strip mall near my house. I didn't even realize it was there. It's half the distance that the post office is from my place. I can walk there as opposed to drive the 2 miles to the post office.
What is the service or the store?
It's actually just a little corner shop bodega, but they're approved by FedEx to be a drop point.
But you can drop off your package and pick up a taco.
That's right.
Fantastic. That's
right. It's really kind of incredible. Both UPS and FedEx have expanded tremendously their kind of suite of drop locations. And I think the best resource available right now is from their web pages. Mm. You can look for a FedEx drop-off locator, or you can look for a UPS drop-off locator. I've also noticed that if I Google, just straight up, you know, Google, it's basically the way I find things out today.
Smart of you.
The results are far less accurate actually on Google than they are on the FedEx.com locator or the UPS.com. And I think that's part of the evolving nature. I'm sure Google will catch up as the networks become more
stable. I love
that
phrase, Google will catch up. Yeah, that's a good phrase. Yeah.
The point here is don't be shy about using other carriers, ones that particularly offer great speeds during this time of year, complemented with same day handle, and then the convenience of those alternative drop points. I think you'll find that this type of speed during this time of year is actually easier to achieve than one may think initially.
What about having the parcels picked up at your home? I know USPS will do it for free, but that's at their time of day. And I assume it's where they usually deliver the mail to your neighborhood. That would be around the same time.
That's right.
So you could make your cutoff time around that or a little earlier just to be safe.
You totally can. If you see consistency on when the carrier's coming to your door, you could absolutely use that as a way to manage your cutoff time.
You have to let them know a day ahead.
You do. By 2 a.m. Central Time, 2 a.m. Monday means that they'll commit to coming Monday for a pickup.
Oh, okay.
If they come normally around 2 p.m., then it's 2 a.m. Central.
Most of our sellers don't sleep, so that wouldn't be a hard thing for them to do. They're 24-hour day businesses. The other thing you can do with USPS is you can schedule it, but that costs money.
You can schedule a specific time of day, and it does cost money. The thing that I like to do is you can also schedule the carrier route time of day pickup in advance. And so I just go in when I know I'm going to make a sale.
Yeah, you assume you're going to make a sale every day. And there's no penalty if they come to pick up and there's nothing there.
You got it.
Right.
And so I know a lot of sellers like leveraging that. I believe you can schedule up to like 6 months in advance.
Yes. If you're at home running a business out of a home location or a business location, just schedule this.
That's
and
right.
You don't even have to think about it.
That's right.
And that time you would have spent driving or schlepping to a place to drop it off, whether it's a post office or a Walgreens, you can spend that extra time in your business, listing, taking photos, doing books.
We've got links for all of these things on our site, actually, that are quite easy to find.
Oh, tell us.
We've all heard USPS, FedEx, and UPS. The three pages for each of those carriers are ebay.com/USPS or /FedEx or /UPS. And on those pages, we give you links to schedule carrier pickups, to find locations where you can drop them off. That's the great resource for now.
Before we started recording our podcast today, we were talking about the concept of gift wrap. Let's talk a little bit about your suggestion about how to handle gift wrap requests. It can make it difficult to pack an item correctly. It may increase the cost of packaging.
What I've been doing in the last couple Christmases, you know, I work at eBay.
Yeah.
My family knows I work at eBay. So as I try exclusively to buy them gifts off of eBay because it's kind of fun. And then what I've been doing is taking our tissue that we use for the eBay branded shipping supplies.
Yeah, because we have a whole bunch of it upstairs.
Got a whole bunch at their shipping station. I've been using that to wrap the presents too. And so we had an idea that if you have some tissue or some wrapping paper that you think would work, you don't actually have to wrap it. You could just include it in the box.
Yeah.
And then the buyer has gift wrap already available with their purchase.
They don't have to go look for the gift wrap for this or take it out. They open the package and there's the item that they're going to give as a gift. And here's a little bit of gift wrap that you can use to wrap it up.
If every
little
seller,
ribbon and a little card you can write on.
Yeah, if every seller put some eBay tissue paper in their box, their Christmas trees would look like my parents' one with a bunch of eBay branding underneath the tree.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Cool. Yeah, you're
I
like,
love
hey,
this.
Got
yeah.
this on eBay.
Okay, now that was a great tip. Nate, is there anything else we want to cover?
I think the last things is just a short thing. We talked about supplies. The supplies are available. We've got some great holiday themes. There's tissue paper stickers, thank you cards. They're all available. You can use your coupon if you haven't used it already. I believe that came out on October 1st for store subscribers.
Right.
The next one will be in January, and so use that coupon now.
Yeah, if you haven't if you haven't used your coupon as a store subscriber, you do it now, but don't wait because, well, there's two reasons why you shouldn't wait. You may miss out, and ordering supplies late in the game is not a smart thing to do at this time of the holiday season. You want to be supplied beforehand. I know I am.
Yep, yep, same here. Yeah. The color theme this year is mint, aqua, and lavender. Doesn't feel very holiday-ish.
Feels Easter-ish.
Feels a little Easter-ish.
We're thinking way ahead.
The thank you cards and stickers are really, you know, they're kind of evergreen, so they work with the color theme of this year. It can also be used all year long. The tissue, which has coordinating colors, going to look really great under that tree for all us using that gift wrapping
idea. Wow, you're really pushing this. I like this. Yeah,
it has some holiday elements like gifts, stars, snowflakes, things like that.
Snowflakes, yeah. I've been called that before.
The other thing about the supplies, I think some sellers will probably be very excited about this. We've got two new sizes, a 4x4x4 box.
Oh, I've been waiting for those to come back.
I know, as well as an adjustable height, 12.5x12.5 box.
Oh, that's brilliant. Are they available now?
They are. Awesome eBay open feedback that we got just consistently from a number of the sellers.
Yeah, for me, that 4x4, that square box was perfect for a lot of the stuff I sold, and then it stopped.
It's the perfect box for mugs. It is a really, really great one.
And with mugs, there's a lot of sellers who listen to the podcast who have a great business in mugs.
As we think about holiday, pay attention to the carrier cutoffs. Think about migrating to a same-day policy for handling time, but make sure that it works for you with your same-day cutoff times. And really, it's all about elevate your listings for this time of year when people have speed and, like, when will it be delivered? Top of mind about offering those upgrade choices.
Because if you're not doing it, your competitor is.
You got it.
And they're going to grab your market share this holiday season.
You got it.
Nate, I want to thank you. This was great. I wish you and your family happy holidays and great success selling on eBay. I know, not a problem.
Thank you.
You do every year. And we'll have you back in after the holidays to have sort of a holiday recap and how the season went.
You got it. Thanks Griff.
Nate Hayward works on the eBay North America shipping team upstairs on the third floor of Building 6. I just gave away your location. And look for him back on the podcast, and hopefully we'll see him on our live stream as well. You know, in an ideal podcast, at least podcast I'm involved in, I'd love to write musical jingles to open every segment. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun.
Something like, you know, you got questions, we got answers here on the old podcast.
Right. Sounds a bit like eBay Radio.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's like that, but you know, it's something like that. So,
yeah.
Alan, we have questions this week.
Always good. Always good.
So we got four or three.
Yep.
We got three red questions, and we got one call-in that we're going to use this week. So.
Okay. So I'm going to read the submitted questions from our podcast feedback page. First one comes in from user ID, The Style Writer 2. They ask, we were inspired by Alan and Brian to create a codeless coupon to give to specific customers. We did that, but did not receive a URL. The community seems to think that the promotion will be shown on every listing in our stores, but we need more clarification.
I'm a little confused here. So I think what happened, if you did this right, when you went to the promotions page and it says create a promotion and you have a drop-down box, there's one that says codeless coupon. If that's the one you selected and you followed the instructions, at the end of the steps for setting the configuration for the codeless coupon, the duration, the amount of discount, the categories or items to which you want to apply it, the URL shows up there. And then you copy it and paste it into wherever you want to put it. A codeless coupon doesn't show up on the listing page. I don't know why anyone would say that. Now, if you're not sure, you said you didn't see the URL, you can always go and find it. If you go to your current promotions page and you look for existing promotions for codeless coupons, you should see the URL so that you can copy and paste it. So go back to Seller Hub. Go to the marketing tab, look for promotions, and then look for the codeless coupon dropdown, and then go see your current promotions, and the URL should be there.
Oof, okay.
Now, if you thought you were creating a codeless coupon, but what you did is you created something else like a markdown event, that'll show up on listings, and the event will have its URL as well, but that's a different type of promotion.
Okay.
So if we're not getting this right, email us back. We'll see what we can do.
Okay. Thank you, Griff.
Yeah.
Next one comes in from Premium Online Shop. I have a question regarding the return of products. Mm-hmm. I sold a rare pair of Puma sneakers in new condition. The buyer started a return stating the shoes didn't fit. When I received the return, the shoes were very dirty. I spoke with someone from eBay that stated eBay couldn't do anything about it. Mm. And as a business seller, eBay expects you to take losses. Mm-hmm. Is that true? What can be done when a buyer returns an item in a different condition than originally sold?
Well, in the last seller update premium online shop, there's a section that was outlining the new extended seller protections. If you're a top-rated seller and you have an item that's returned to you, and it's returned in something not resembling the original condition in which you shipped it, that's what it sounds like in this case, mm-hmm. then you can choose to withhold up to 50% of the refund when you issue the refund and give a reason saying the item was returned dirty.
That's right.
And then that's it.
Yeah.
And the buyer can't appeal to you. The buyer can't report you for that. So you get to keep 50% of the refund. Now, I think what eBay customer support may have been telling you, if they weren't using the right words, is it is true as a reality of business, you will occasionally take a transaction loss. I do. Everyone does. What's important is that at the end of the year, at the end of the quarter, at the end of the reporting period, the aggregate of your sales is either positive or negative. We say this often on the show. I'm going to say it here. The worst thing that any merchant or business can do, especially on eBay or any marketplace like eBay, is to start worrying and getting anxiety ridden over a single transaction. It will destroy how you look at buyers. It will destroy how you look at eBay. It'll destroy how you look at your business. And it'll ultimately have a negative impact on all of those.
Yes.
You're not in business for that. You're in business to make money.
Yes.
So the way it works, if you are a TRS seller, is when you issue a refund for an item that was returned after it was used or damaged by a buyer and you have a track record of delivering on your service promise, eBay will give you the ability to protect yourself by deducting up to 50% of the refund to recover the decreased value of the item. I'm assuming in this case you can clean those sneakers and if they're rare, you can resell them.
That's great. Thank you, Griff.
Yeah.
Next one up comes in from For the Love of Jeans.
Yeah.
I just took my shop off of vacation mode after moving. Any advice on getting some quick traction and getting my listings up there in the ranking? Besides promoted listings, already doing that.
Sure. So For the Love of Jeans, my advice is you do nothing. When you put your store on vacation mode, it puts it into a suspended state. The fixed price items are no longer visible or available for purchase. Once you take the store off vacation, it may take an hour or up to 8 hours to index them all.
Okay.
They keep their original status, their original ranking metrics and everything else. You don't need to do anything. And in fact, doing something at this point is just going to be more work. And the worst thing you can do, and I've heard sellers doing this, is they'll call customer support and say, will you re-index my store? Do not do that.
Well, if they can't do it, right?
They can't do it. So if they're if they're saying they can, that's not true. So I always take my store off vacation the day before I'm coming back because I have one day handling. So I know when I get back, if I make a sale in the 24 hours beforehand, I'll just ship it.
It's got to be quick.
Yeah. But be patient. If you put your store on vacation and then you put it back, you take it off vacation mode and your listings will slowly reappear. Sometimes my listings, when I do this, appear within a matter of hours. Sometimes it takes maybe 8 hours or more. But that's how the system works. There's no reason to say I have to go in and then, you know, do something so they increase their ranking. You don't have to do anything.
Okay, good to know.
Let's listen to one question that came in on our hotline, 888-723-4630.
Hey guys, this is Andrew. My eBay user ID is Bault9, B-A-U-L-T-9. My question was concerning multiple eBay accounts. I've known people who only have one account and they sell all of their items from that account. And then I have people that have multiple accounts and they sell all their stuff throughout those multiple accounts, whether it's different categories and whatnot. My question is there any type of performance boost by having multiple accounts as opposed to just selling all of your items on one account? That's all I was wondering. Thanks, guys. I love the podcast.
He likes it so much.
Oh, thanks. We like you.
Yes, we do, of course. So, yeah, there's an ongoing discussion on eBay, Alan. What do you think the answer is?
I don't think there's a performance boost for doing that. Not at all. I know some sellers will do it because they say, well, I've got completely different inventory and I want to split my inventory up. Maybe I've got summer wear and winter wear. I've got fashion and I've got home and garden stuff. And I don't want to have all of those on one account. But
I do know one use case where I'm selling baby items, and I also sell adult and mature audience stuff.
Okay.
So
all
I
right.
want to keep those separate.
You definitely want to keep
Although
those.
One does seem to lead to the other. So.
Yeah, you want to keep those ones separate. So, I mean, personally, if it was me, I would try and do it all through one account.
Me too.
Just makes life easier. And then when you're looking at things like feedback, reputation, you know, building yourself up towards top-rated seller, your monthly invoice when that comes in, that's surely easier when you have one account versus many.
Yeah, and two accounts or more is more management work. Mm-hmm. You've got two accounts to check every day. You have to have different browsers open, different sign-ins. It's different shipping. It's a lot of work. So unless you've got a staff, mm-hmm. if you're a single person operation, the idea of having two or more stores, even just two, is more than double the work.
It is.
There's also the crossover sell opportunity. You may think those categories have little in common, but there's no harm in having a store or all your listings and sell in different categories. We have a lot of sellers who do that. And you may get some crossover action. Somebody may say, hey, you know, I'm looking for fly rods and you're selling, you know, car parts. And this kind of works for me. It would be really difficult, if not impossible, to get that same sort of efficiency if you're doing it in two separate stores. Mm-hmm. But there's no performance boost.
Okay. Well, glad we can clear that up.
Yeah. We cleared it up.
We cleared it up. That's it.
Our job is nearly done.
It's officially cleared.
All we have to do is to close out the show.
Again, it's that time of the week already.
And that's our show for this week, don't you know? Thank you for downloading and listening to this episode.
We appreciate each and every single listener. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode where we'll dive deeper into shipping. And we'll also talk with Kathy Foster, VP of eBay's Global Government Relations and Policy Team. Kathy will share insights into what her team is doing with regards to issues like internet sales tax, global trade, and the recent news around the Universal Postal Union, or UPU. You won't want to miss it.
I know I won't. And whatever you do, don't forget our number.
You can be part of our show when you call us on 888-723-4630.
888-723-4630. You can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week. You can leave a question, a comment, a gripe, a kvetch. I don't care. Just do it. We might put it on the air, but consider how you word it.
Or if you prefer, you can email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And if you crave more eBay information and maybe a social outing, then you know what I'm going to say. Then you should consider attending a local eBay seller meetup in your area. At seller meetups, eBay sellers, they share things like, well, you know, tips and tricks and selling stories and learnings and insights on how to run a business, and even a little bit, as we say every week, of some gossip and kvetches. Mm. Yeah,
kvetches.
Yeah, me too. And you can see upcoming meetups on our special eBay community page for meetups at ebay.com/meetups. Couldn't be simpler.
And if you're still craving more eBay, why not tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific time. Go to facebook.com/ebay for business.
Now with music.
You've got music?
Yeah, I added music to the beginning and the end.
Oh, I missed it.
Little incremental steps. We're making it more professional.
Wow. What next? Can't wait to see what we do next.
It'll be dancing girls. Just watch.
Cravings continue? Well, right after the live stream, hop on over to the eBay community for our weekly chat. It starts every Wednesday at 1 o'clock Pacific. Go to ebay.com/community chat and we will see you there.
Yes, we will. That's our show. As I said, this eBay for Business podcast broadcast is brought to you by the head of community, Brian Burke.
Special correspondent, Jen Deal.
Associate executive segment producer, Doug Smith.
Marketing strategist, Liz Austin.
My esteemed co-host, and you know him by Alan Aisbitt.
Editor-in-chief, Griff.
And the eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. Time to go see your mother.
It's great to have her around. Yeah. An extra pair of hands to help with the little kid.
M is for the many things she does for me.
Free childcare. I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing. Just don't let her steal the baby.
Oh.
Take it back to Ireland.
I'll have to follow her back.
Mom, you forgot something.
Record the next podcast on the plane.
Yeah, she should bring her in. We'll record her.
Oh, see if I can get her in.
Would she be interested? And now, Alan's mom.
What would she talk about?
Impressions of America.
Be nice.
Yeah. From an Irish point of view.
Yeah. Yes, it was our first long haul flight. 12 hours, I think.
Oh, it's a long time.
No, it's a long one. But she was worried, and seemed to have gotten well, though. I think she liked watching the movie and watching the TV show. She got to watch Fawlty Towers.
Oh, all of them?
Some good British TV while she was on the plane, so she was happy about that.
Basil?
Basil Fawlty.
Okay.
Remember Basil?
Yes, I loved it. I watched every episode. Sybil?
No. Was that on?
No, Sybil was the wife.
Oh, of course.
Don't quibble, Sybil.
Sybil.
Yeah.